This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass on Joy 94.9. Macca.
Yeah, look, we've got a number of issues we'd like to speak to Lord Mayor Sally Capp on. Good morning, Sally. How are you?
Good morning, Macca and Tass. I'm well. How are you?
Good. Now, where are
great
you?
Great to hear your voice, Sally.
Are you at the town hall or is your head pushed up against the window in Dockland?
I've opted for town hall today because there's only so much of my face against the plate glass window I can take.
Well, look, we hope that next month we'll be able to have you in the studio.
Good. That would be lovely. I did inquire, but I was told, and I understand, but not yet. And I get it. As restrictions start easing, we'll take it slowly and steadily. And I know that we're probably going to be talking a bit about that this morning.
The message is very clear from the Chief Health Officer. If you can work from home, must till the end of June.
Yep. Uh-huh. So, Sally, wanted to ask you.
Well, before you do that, Macca, how are you, Sally?
I am well, and I you know, of course, I listen to the show and I understand we've got some really big topics to discuss this morning. And I think, isn't it an amazing time that not only are we going through this global pandemic and we agreed we'd prioritise the health response and everybody has gone through a massive behaviour change to achieve that. And what great results here in Victoria. But then we have all of these social issues arising at the same time. And I think that it's a healthy thing that, you know, we've got a situation where we can debate these fully.
It's very important and, you know, we are living in challenging times. And if we just think back, you know, 4 months or so, the world was a very different place.
Mm.
And let's try and think forward 4 months, where we'll be 4 months from now. It's also going to be a very different place. Now, overnight... yesterday, the Victorian government received the report from the independent panel into the North Richmond medically supervised injecting facility. And one of the recommendations coming from that, Sally, and I know the government has discussed this with you, was that there should be another facility because North Richmond is at capacity, well at capacity, and the number of deaths in the city of Yarra is greater than in the CBD, but the CBD the city of Melbourne is not far behind. So they've come out, Sally, with a preferred site, which is near Victoria Market. And if my understanding is correct, there's going to be a 6-month consulting period with yourself, with the council, with the community around whether this is the correct place to site it. Is that your understanding?
Yes, and we see where the government's coming from. I absolutely respect that and the experts that put the report together. This is about saving lives, and that's really important. And there's a lot of data in the report, and Macca, it sounds like you're across it, about why safe injecting rooms make a difference, and also to state why they recommend, this is the independent expert panel, that it goes into the city of Melbourne. What we're really interested in, and there are many references in the report that that say that it's really important to bring the community along with you to understand the impact on the community, the amenity. And we are saying to the state government, we get where you're coming from. We understand this is about saving lives, but we really need to be involved in that consultation on the most appropriate site. Of course, any site is going to cause controversy. There are going to be objections that need to be considered and listened to. But I think being able to be part of a process that helps identify the most appropriate site is really important for our community.
So do you support the establishment of a medically supervised injecting facility in the Melbourne CBD?
Well, I certainly, I've got to say, we're still working through the report, and I certainly understand that the outcomes from the report show that there have been material positive impacts in reduction of deaths, in reduction of ambulance calls, call-outs, in reduction of people shooting up in public, all of those sorts of things, which is absolutely beneficial. And I think the data is in the report to show why the City of Melbourne, Macca, I think you said that, you know, we're just behind Yarra. Well, we're quite a bit behind Yarra, but nonetheless, we're second on the list. This is about saving lives, and we completely sign up for that. But what we're concerned about is making sure that we've had a chance to be involved in identifying the most appropriate site. And look, it's a big question because I think in the report they raise a lot of issues. They identify things that need to be addressed, but still there's no definite set of criteria to say this is the most appropriate spot. And what we don't know is why is a site that's in a residential building across the road, not just from our market, but from one of the busiest tourist sites, which is across the road from a new maternal health and childcare centre. Why is that spot the most appropriate spot in the City of Melbourne?
So it's been identified as a preferred site, so there will be obviously some discussion around that. If it's not there, could you recommend somewhere else?
Melbourne Town Hall, perhaps?
Well, we would like the opportunity to be able to do that, and I think that's the sort of discussion we're keen to have with the government, is to understand why that site is preferred, what criteria we use, how that applies to that site, and just to be able to work with them to understand what other sites might be appropriate. And if it turns out after all of that discussion that that is the most appropriate, you know, that'll be the conclusion. But it's really important that our community, the businesses, the residents, the people that use the area have had a chance to understand.
So it does sound like you are supporting this. So that's a really positive step forward. It does make it much easier when community leaders in a city like the City of Melbourne do support the establishment of such a facility.
Look, and I think the trial has shown, yeah. And you come from public health, so you'd know more about it than I would have.
Yeah, so it's quite right to actually have a discussion about it and to evaluate the pros and cons about what is the right location. But quite clearly, the evidence shows that there is one. And I think the comments that you've made this morning are very much, you know, in line with supporting us, is the way that I would assess that.
Yeah, that's right. It does save lives. The evidence says that what we want to put in place is a situation where we can bring the public along with us. They can understand the reasons for this site. I think actually the fact that we've moved to the site location in many ways is to be taken as progressing the discussion. It's into that area, but we need to understand what was the process. In fact, in the report, it actually says, how do you actually find sites that are compatible with the needs and expectations of local residents? How do you understand and improve the amenity? And you referred to that this morning. And those are the sorts of the discussions that we want to be able to have.
Now, the preferred site, Sally, is CoHealth, and that is already an existing drug and alcohol and
mental health. A community health service.
Yep.
Look, I understand the challenge of this. I understand the challenge you face. I understand concern for residents and businesses. That has to be balanced with the concern or with our ability to actually save lives. And as I said, if this centre centre like this had been open in 2006, I'd still have my sister.
Hmm.
Macca, we've just had a message from a listener who says that if there was a safe... I'm going to read it out, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
A safe injecting room may have saved my son from dying from an overdose. I'm always for safe injecting rooms. It breaks my heart when I hear people who live in the area saying that it will bring their area down. Finding teenagers dead in the gutter is already doing that. Whew. Thank you very much for sharing your personal story.
And look, Sally, your history on support for mental health reform, your work on homelessness, and, you know, your support for this is actually about leadership. And leadership is never easy. We've got an unusual situation here. We have, in the past, we had an ex-police commissioner and at the time chair of Ambulance Victoria supporting the injecting facility. We have the current chief commissioner of police supporting the injecting facility. We have the new commissioner of police, Shane Patton, supporting the injecting facility. The challenge is, where do you put it? And, you know, these facilities need to be near where people are shooting up. And I know, and you know, and so many people in the city of Melbourne and police and medical professionals know that Victoria Market Region is not a dry zone. There is a lot of injecting goes on around there, and, you know, the centre needs to be near where it's going to do the greatest good. It's balancing that with the needs of the residents and the businesses, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. It needs to go where it can do the greatest good and be balanced with the needs of the residents and the businesses. And what we don't know yet is what sites were considered. Why was this site decided that it actually hits those objectives that you've just said, Macca? And a big part of this is it's great to have experts that say this is about saving lives and this can make a difference. And I can accept that. I respect their opinion. But what is also very important is to be able to bring community along, because we want to build up that support for measures that can make a material difference in people's lives. We've heard from you this morning, Macca. We just heard from the person who sent the email. I listened with intent to the two families who stood up with the Premier yesterday and who are featured in the papers today. But we don't have any of those details to understand. And I think that we should have them. We need to have them, and it's important to have that discussion so that we can give the community assurances that as we make difficult decisions and we balance up all of these matters, these interests, these agendas in the context of saving lives, then we can keep moving forward. But without us having those grown-up conversations, it's really difficult. We do have people who react sharply, defensively, with fear. You know, information and knowledge are very powerful things, and I think they're not just powerful, they're absolutely valuable to having informed discussions and making good decisions, and that's what we're asking for.
I ask our listeners to consider the leadership that was shown by the state of Victoria in the restrictions that were placed around COVID-19, and we have a situation where yesterday we had no reported cases. If we hadn't taken those measures, what would the situation be? And I can tell you, if we didn't have a medically supervised injecting facility, on my estimation, we probably would have had another 200, 250 deaths from overdose, at least. I encourage people to think about that. Those people that are still alive are with us. Those who, if this hadn't happened, would have been dead, they have no amenity.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca and myself, Tass, and we're in the middle of a conversation with Sally Capp,
our
Melbourne's only and favourite Lord Mayor.
And directly elected.
And directly elected, of course.
Yeah, we like a bit of direct elections.
You are very good. Thank you.
We love our landlord.
Yeah, we do.
That's what it is.
No. Personally, professionally and community-wise, I love you.
And
you
and seriously, if you were in here today, Sally, you'd be enjoying an abundance of donuts.
Oh yeah, the place is bloody awash with donuts.
Since you stopped visiting us, and we weren't showered with pastries and icy pole sticks and coffees and things, we now have to buy them ourselves.
I know, but we're keeping the economy going.
Good. You got to do your bit. It was World Donut Day this week as well.
Was it?
You were referencing that.
World Donut Day.
Yeah.
I actually think you won't agree, so don't comment. I think there should be a World Dickhead Day. And I can think of a number of people who could celebrate it. Anyway, I want to talk about Black Lives Matter rally today, Sally. And what I think about when I think about that, I think about the suffering of our First Nations people. I think about the fact that 400 Indigenous Australians have died in police custody since 1991. I think about the overrepresentation of Indigenous Australians in the drug using and homeless community. But what concerns me about this march today is its ability to potentially spread coronavirus. And that worries me when we've worked so hard to stop the spread. And it's a really difficult situation, Sally, because I support the purpose of the march. I support and understand and acknowledge the real hurt and the real pain and the need for change. I just don't want it to happen, that march today. Can I have your thoughts, please?
Well, look, I wish that we could find an innovative way to bring a loud voice and solidarity to these issues that the organisation Black Lives Matter wants to amplify today. I wish we could find an innovative way that didn't involve people gathering en masse. Because I know that there's huge support, as you've just said, for the issues that are being raised, and this is exactly the sort of social change that people want to be able to support. But as you've said, we've very loudly, both from a government perspective, but also right across the community, said that the health response at the moment is the absolute priority. And I know we've been discussing over the last few weeks the impacts that that's had on the city and community. And I think we've got to keep going with that. And if that is the priority, then we have to be consistent and keep going. And I agree with you. I'd love to find ways to put my voice and my energy into these issues. And frankly, we need to be doing it every day, not just on a Saturday at a protest. This is about fundamental change in our workplaces and in our community, and we all have a responsibility to do that. But I think you said, I support the ideals and the outcomes that the protest organisers are looking for, but I'm not supporting attendance at the protest.
Look, I think that position is shared by many community leaders. I've heard police and government and a whole range of other officials exactly say the very same thing. But it seems to me that there is almost like a sort of a basic need for people to gather and protest. You know, last week we did see Blackout Tuesday on social media. And as I scrolled through my own social media channels, I could see that everybody had black screens. But that sometimes is not enough, Sally. What do you think about that? Sometimes people... And the only other point to add is that in sort of public discourse, sometimes it's all about the timing, isn't it?
Yeah, I can see that. And certainly the timing can be used to bring extra attention. It can be used to, as I said, amplify the voice. But I think also timing can sometimes be very negative for the cause as well, when it means that we're forcing people to choose between the COVID health issue and Black Lives Matter issues, and that just seems unfortunate to me because we want to be able to support both. That's why I said, you know, now is the time also for looking at innovative ways of raising protests, providing a voice to matters. And I think I get the bit about gathering. You know, I miss gathering with people as well. But what will you know, what I would say is that, you know, look, I think I've already said it in terms of being able to prosecute the issues without actually breaching the rules that we have in place at the moment, and they're rules that we've been accepting for many weeks now. I also think that there's heightened fear when people look at what's been happening overseas, and it goes beyond the issue again about Black Lives Matter, and people look at some of the antisocial behaviour that's happened as a result, and they start to fear that sort of outcome in Melbourne. It's not about that. It's about shining a light on the issues for our Indigenous Australians that for too long we have overlooked. And again, I just wish we could find innovative ways of doing that.
What's the town hall predicting will actually happen today?
Do we know where it actually does getting? It start at Parliament, Sally? I'm not actually sure of the details. Starting, and I'm not trying to advertise it. I'm just wondering where it actually.
I'm not across the latest details either, apart from gathering at Parliament House. We are very much coordinating and letting the police lead on this issue. I know that, as we've seen in the media and the dialogue over this week, that they are, you know, also trying to be very respectful of the issues being raised. But at the same time, so look, it's a difficult one. But wow, are we moving into? I think COVID has really raised that prioritisation of humanity and social issues, and it said that the community really believes that we should be prioritising these sorts of issues. We've just got to find different ways of doing it.
Now, if you've just tuned in, we are in the middle of a conversation with Melbourne's only Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, and our favourite Lord Mayor, of course, on Saturday Magazine. Sally, I was going to ask you a completely different question.
Oh, yes, there's this email here, Tash.
Yes, we've just had a message from one of our listeners. Lovely Linda from East Melbourne, she describes herself as. She says that the Labor Party has now endorsed a candidate for Mayor for Lord Mayor for Melbourne. Are you across that? Do you know about this?
Well, there was a gossip piece in the paper this week. I haven't seen any formal announcements by the ALP about their tickets, but I am aware that they are planning to have endorsed tickets in a lot of the local government elections in October this year. And so, yes, I saw the gossip, lovely Linda.
Ah, right. So you know lovely Linda.
No. I mean, I may know. I just thought that's such a lovely, almost alliteration. I should have thought of an extra L word to add to it.
Sally's going to be searching through the voter database to find a
little L. You're our wordsmith, Macca. You are our wordsmith.
Yeah. Oh, look, I've got a few words in mind, but anyway. Look, I think, Sal, I just want to briefly go back to the injecting facility, the proposed one. So there's a six-month period of consultation, you know, with the city, and I imagine
and community,
and a lot of that consultation.
Another organisation. Yep.
Yeah, I expect the city council will be leading that, or facilitating a lot of that. So we're looking at potentially by the end of the year, a decision, hopefully being made as to where this should be placed. I know you support the facility.
Mm-hmm.
It's going through this process. And let me say this, there'll be media organisations in this city that will rant and rave about this. There will be politicians in this state and in this city that rant and rave about this. I ask them to consider what is more important to you. Is accommodating the need for this facility a priority and saving lives? Or are you happy, are those people happy to see fellow Victorians die? That's the question I put to them. It's a comment. It's not a question. How do you think the 6 month process is going to work? Do you have any idea? Do you have a handle on that, Sally?
No, and that's really what we are calling for and wanting to discuss with the government is, you know, we need to understand the reasons for the site selection to be able to evaluate that in the best interests of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the reasons you just put is about saving lives. Well, let's bring everyone along for understanding why that is the best spot for achieving those outcomes. The report clearly states many things, and the government said in their announcement yesterday that they're accepting all of the recommendations. The detail about the site selection is very important. It's a discussion that needs to be respectful of all parties. It needs to share information and as you said, it needs to show leadership. This is about saving lives as a priority, but it is about making sure that we bring the community along with us. We want to see the outcomes maximised. We don't want to see this turn, as you said, into a battle between competing interests. And I think that information, consultation, knowledge has a lot to do with helping people understand the decisions. I'd like to understand it better. I can't tell you. Would you like to understand it better? I'd like to understand across the entire city of Melbourne, where we know that that's the recommendation of the experts. Why that site, and what are those criteria, and which other sites were considered, and why was this the best one? And I think if we can understand that, it actually will help address the issue you raised, Macca, about there being loud voices. A lot of that comes, when people don't have the information.
Sir John Kerr used to refer to those loud voices as static, but usually when he said that he was drunk. It's 140-odd pages of light reading, the report.
Have you read it already?
I've got about halfway through. I think Tass's
I had a good look at it last time.
Tass has had a good look, no doubt. He's got little...
What do you think?
Well, what I'm hearing this morning is your endorsement for a supervised injecting facility in Melbourne. You would like some further discussion around the location and why that's the best location. And it sounds to me like you are prepared to be open to have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
And prepared to be convinced that is the right location. But if that's not the right location...
Do you think that's important?
Oh, I think that's all part of the equation, absolutely. I do agree that you do need to take the community with you. And that means sometimes having to lead the conversation. I think the government was very brave in making this announcement yesterday. I did say before you came on air that I was a little bit taken back. I did expect the Margaret Hamilton report to come out and justify what is being done. But to be as bold as to actually recommend a second injecting facility was not quite what I expected. I think it's the right thing. I think it is the right recommendation. I think it is the right decision to have a second facility to take some of that pressure off the Richmond facility. Ultimately, I think that, you know, a place like Melbourne can probably have more than two, can probably have up to five or six.
Yeah.
You mean Greater Melbourne?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not the city of Melbourne.
Yes.
Look, I support Tass's remarks and amplify it. I think
the conversation is healthy, actually.
And starting off from a point, Sally, you know, where it has your support, the discussion is about, is this the right place? Why did we arrive at this? Or why was that the preferred site? You know, the report has a lot of detail in it. I know... health professionals, you know, whether that be paramedics, whether it be drug and mental health workers, whether it be hospital inpatients, emergency rooms, you won't get any argument from them about this.
Yeah.
You won't get any argument from the parents and family and friends of drug users. The other side of the equation of the residents and the businesses... Absolutely. They need to be part of the discussion and to understand what this is, and we need to have a facility that saves lives and doesn't cause impact in other people's lives that are not desirable. That's why you're you're the Lord Mayor, and you have to make those calls. I don't. So I'm glad it's you and not me.
Well, but you have touched on the relevant issues, and they're not always easy conversations, and I absolutely accept that. And it's naive to think that they were going to find a spot where everybody agrees to it. But I think that we do need to be having a conversation with the right information, the inputs, the data, the evidence. And if there is a more appropriate site and we can find it with community input and support, then that would be fantastic.
Yeah. As always, Sally, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your honesty. I know this is an issue that's going to cause you and the council a lot of angst over the next little while. It's going to cause residents and business. It's going to cause everyone some really hard thinking and some decisions to be made. But I think we're starting off from the right point of having the discussion over the next 6 months. Is this the right place? How can we minimise, you know, the unpleasant aspects of it? And how can we save lives? That's what it's about.
Sounds great.
So thank you.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you for your time this morning, as always.
Lovely to talk to you both.
And we're so looking forward to seeing you in person.
And, next month.
Yeah, and just so you know, Sally, my favourite is actually strawberry donuts. Strawberry icing.
Not the jam filled.
Not jam. Icing. No, jam filled. I'm not very good with food. If I had a jam filled donut, it'd be all over the front of me.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Sally. All the best. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, take care.
Bye bye.
Message here: should we discourage drug use, not encourage it? Yeah, absolutely. But it's an addiction and it's a health issue. We need to deal with the reality. I don't think, Tass, that an injecting facility encourages people to take drugs. Do you?
Macca, what it does do is it encourages people to use safely and to use with medical supervision.
I don't want people to use these hard drugs. I lost my sister because of her drug addiction to heroin. I don't want people to use these drugs. I understand the addiction. I want people to be safe. And let's remember, with the injecting facility in Richmond, hundreds if not thousands of people have been referred on to other support services to enable them to have better lives, whether it's dental health, whether it's mental health, you know, other aspects of their health. It has got better for them because of this facility. So no, I don't want to encourage drug use. Not at all.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.